Welcome to Cross Examination, the very serious interview show where we ask the most wayward stereo travelers the most important questions on the internet. We record this podcast live on the Stereo app, but we'd also like to thank our listeners on Spotify and iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Make sure to leave a review so we can continue pouring this sexy cacophony into your ears once a week.
Massachusetts. It's actually a small town. I mean, there's 17,000 people there, right? So I actually thought it was a big town. But having lived in Huntington Beach now for about 3 years, when I go back, I'm like, this is country bumpkin compared to a city. There's trees everywhere. I thought there was a lot of businesses on the main street where it is. And there, now I realize that like seven businesses is not a lot for a half a mile of road.
I mean, try living in a town of 1,000 people. I don't even know if you can qualify that as a town.
Bro, if I take people, like, where I live, they think I'm, like, taking them to their murder. Like, if you, like, on the road to my house, I've had that several times. Like, where the fuck are you taking me? Are you going to kill me? Like,
are you?
No, it's just a curvy road.
I mean, I don't know. Keith, where you live is, like, Hills Have Eyes-esque.
They do have eyes.
It has Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes. It's in the middle. Like, I've seen your TikToks, and it's like, you see this trailer sort of looking at how it's come up after that long-ass driveway, and you're like, oh, all right, better pray. Didn't know today was a cut-my-head-off day.
It's just like TikTok in the woods. I mean, just like regular TikTok, but, you know, in the woods, next to, you know, a clandestine meth lab or, you know, just moonshine still.
That sounds bring much out all your more knives. Exciting.
What'd you say, Callie?
That sounds way more exciting than regular TikTok. I want TikTok in a meth lab.
Yeah, that's why they keep banning me. I got crack jokes. I joke about what I know. I mean, you're really hamstringing me here to TikTok, you motherfuckers. Sorry, okay. That was...
Preach.
All right, well, we've got another question. And Keith, I'll wait for you to bring your questions back up. Your internet is fantastic now, by the way. Callie, what is something you're hypocritical about? Something you believe but have a hard time sticking to in practice?
Oh my God, so many fucking things. Oh man, yeah. Actually, let me think of the worst one.
Comedy.
Oh, dude, that's hard. I feel like that's something I think about all the time. Whenever people... I don't know. This is the first one. It's kind of boring. Like, I'm such an asshole driver, and I'm constantly getting mad at people for doing the exact same shit I do all the time. Like, not letting me in. I'm trying to get into a lane, like, from a gas station, and no one's letting me in. I'm like, you are the worst piece of shit in existence. And then I'll be driving, and I'm like, sorry, dude, not today. It's not happening. Oh, so,
absolutely. I'm that asshole. That's like, you know, if anybody is ever doing like less than 10 miles an hour than you, they're like, you always say, what the fuck is this? Do they even know how to drive? And then if they're like doing a little bit faster than you, like, that person's insane. Ah. It's like, always.
Yep.
I'm trying to kill us out here. Yeah. No.
Well, being from Massachusetts, you know, I'm an insane driver. I am. And I know that. But I get very upset. Okay. I don't get upset at drivers as much as I used to. I had an epiphany that it's like, hey, you know, people in a rush might be going to the hospital to see like a dead person or like somebody dying. You know, they might be doing all of this stuff or they might be hammered. That would be upsetting. But ever since I had that epiphany, now the only time that I ever get mad is if somebody's pulling crazy shit and I have to brake. Mm. If somebody's doing crazy shit and they're not actually affecting the traffic around them at all, weave away. You're good at driving.
I think anger is just a preferred setting.
It is. And what is it about being in like just an enclosed little just weapon on wheels that makes us the most furious that we ever get? Like, because we don't act that way around normal people. Like, if somebody just minorly inconveniences us, we don't just like the equivalent of a horn is just like, meh.
I don't know about you, man. Speak for yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm projecting.
No, but I guess because we're alone. Well, not necessarily, but like you're kind of private, and also you are doing something that is life or death, really. Like when you're driving, you're constantly in danger of not being alive anymore. So everything gets heightened. I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the constant fight or flight that does it to you for sure. Because when you're in a dangerous situation consistently throughout your whole life, you stop consciously viewing it as dangerous. It just becomes a little bit more normalized. It's actually kind of a trauma response. So when you're 16 and you're learning how to drive, the rest of the time you're driving is a trauma response because it's genuinely scary. You're cheating death every time you get in a car.
Yeah.
The human body's not supposed to go 65 miles an hour. That's 40 miles an hour faster than the fastest human alive. That's not to mention like anything that goes wrong, you're also putting your entire trust in a vehicle. You're putting your whole trust in a machine, and you shouldn't have to do that.
I'm fine with that. I mean, the machine's fine. It's the person driving the machine that's all fucked up and drunk. Like, you know, whenever I was like growing up, I was riding around in my dad's truck, like in the back of it, and he was like flying and shit. I'm like, let's slow down. And he's like, nah, man. So here I am. You guys came by it in a fun way.
It says I have a message.
Let's play the message from Kamish.
Hey guys, enjoying the show? What's the fastest speed you've ever ran?
Not 65.
Oh. 69, baby.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. I don't run.
Unless you're being chased. That's one of my rules.
Probably not even that. Like, I would just give up.
I know, actually, I would run. I was pretty good at running when I was in high school. I wasn't sprinting fast, but my long times were pretty good. I ran 16-minute 3.2 miles. Wow. One time.
Do you ever pee on yourself? Because that's what a lot of, like...
No,
I've heard that.
Dude, I had somebody on my cross-country team at St. John's that said they peed themselves when they were running. And I'm like, that's the dumbest thing ever. And they're like, well, I'm the best runner on the team, and I'm going to college for it. And I'm like, Should I start peeing?
Yeah, that's how you get good.
Yeah, are you not good running unless you're peeing on yourself at cross country?
That's the secret.
Cross country is the most low-key, dangerous sport that I have ever participated in. All right?
It's written in the name.
It's weird. So just kind of like how in college, I was in a fraternity, but I was also an anime club. Anime club outdrank the fraternity any day of the week. Literally any day. They drank every day. And they could outdrink anybody I've ever met in my whole life. Anime club. Cross country, you're not wearing any pads, but something they don't tell you when you start the sport is that there's no referees in the woods. So for 9/10 of the course, people will shove each other into trees and shit. And run full speed.
Fuck, it's real.
At the start of state championships, you have like 100 runners line up on a line, and in about a quarter mile or a half mile, you're supposed to funnel into something that can only fit maybe 5 people wide. So in that quarter, half mile stretch, if you fall, you go to the emergency room because everyone steps on you and they're wearing spikes. And they're wearing long spikes because it's states and it's all on grass. There's no concrete in states ever.
That's insane.
So it happened when I went to states, and the kids screaming. I jumped over him. I'm not going to step on the kid. I did push a kid into a tree, though. I did that one time.
I mean,
you have your limits,
you're not trying to win unless you cheat a little bit.
Everybody cheats in the woods in cross country. Everybody.
And everyone pees in
the
woods.
That blew my mind because I thought it was like the wimpy sport. It's not. They're tough as nails.
That sounds kind of like my golfing years. Like, I played golf in like my junior and senior year.
Wait. Wait, what are you doing?
I got a scholarship for it.
But like, what happened to you?
Yeah. Oh man, alcohol. And then poor decision making skills poured on top of that alcohol, and then just being a like funny disposition pretty much got me here.
I just meant like, what kind of high key golf were you playing if it was that dangerous? Were you stepping on people?
Keith, how did golf become dangerous, Keith? What did you do?
Well, it wasn't really that dangerous for me. Like, I was the only kid that the rules officials had to, like, follow around and shit so that they could make sure that I wouldn't smoke cigarettes. And I was always smoking cigarettes, man.
That's some Ferris Bueller shit.
That's amazing.
Like, the people on my team, like, they they pair you up whenever you play for like the school or anything, and you're accountable for a person from a different school. Every person that was with me on my team like was like uncomfortable the whole time because they're like, "You're breaking the rules." I'm like, "What rules?" Like was just
You're the badass
fun
of
times.
golf. I kind of want to golf with you.
Oh, golf's the one sport that encourages drinking. Come on.
I don't know if it's the one. Oh, well, yeah, that encourages it. Sure, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's
And you can
fun, but
drive because it's a golf cart. It's not, I don't think there's any laws against drinking and golf cart driving.
not a damn one.
All right, we got one more. We got a few more questions. We got Adam Smith tuning in too. Let's get to one from Adam.
So I had two questions. One was, has anybody ever peed on themselves?
Just in general.
I
I,
mean,
this is now the theme.
yeah, sure. I'll start us out strong here with a hard yes.
A hard yes. I've
You
never actually, ever.
piss yourself in your dreams, you piss yourself in real life.
That's correct. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If we're going back, yeah, I definitely peed the bed. I definitely
Was
did.
a little fire starter.
Yeah,
A little
back in
fire.
college.
When you're drinking. Dude, I really never have, like, which is crazy.
That is crazy. It's almost weirder than saying that you pissed the bed.
Yeah, I think it is weirder. I think, I mean, I have no self-control in my daily life, but physically, got it.
Oh, I see. I've used that one before.
Yep. I knew it. I knew it. We finally. Oh no! Everybody left but my dad.
Oh.
I'm just monitoring. That's how I know if we're going too far or not. That's literally my guy. Like, okay.
Well, they're like, that girl don't piss herself. What? I'm out.
I came here for the piss stories.
Right.
I came
We
here.
came for
This is
the
called
piss.
cross-examination. I came here for the pee, and if she's not down. Going back on the hub.
That says more
Pornhub
about your
loves me.
listeners than us, though.
It does. You know, I mean, we can say that we've like gathered these people together specially and we've curated them, but we haven't. These are, the cool people that we attract, or, shut up yourself.
We are gathered here today to pee.
You want to remix the edition with a song about pissing? Sorry, R. Kelly. Anyway.
We got another. We got it. Oh my goodness, Adam is on a roll. He wants to know more about P. Okay, first off,
Excited.
second question from Kamish.
I can run as fast as the speed of light. Hope you have a good day. I'll see you later.
Dude, he
Oh.
left that message and then bailed. He's gone. He's not even here anymore.
It was
I
important.
mean, that was terrifying.
One of those comments that if you're in Starbucks, somebody whispers that in your ear. Doesn't matter if it's your parents or not, you just huck coffee at that person.
Yeah, you flail
Yeah.
and hook.
Flail, that's
Yep.
a good one.
You
Fight or
fuck it.
flight
Anything
response
scarier.
is activated.
The scariest part of that message was have a good day, I think. That was the scariest part.
It's ominous,
Yeah,
is
that was
what that
some Mr.
was.
Rogers serial killer vibes. Have a good day. I can run at the speed of light.
Bullet sounds the
Rogers
same in
is kind
every
of scary.
language.
What'd you say, Keith?
A bullet sounds the same in every language.
Oh, God.
I don't.
Bumble.
That reminds me of Canadian Bobby a little bit. It's like, well, I would travel a little bit more, but I'm not allowed in any country anymore.
I'm just, well, by God, I got the Rosetta Stone sitting right here. If a bullet sounds the
Well, I really like planes, but I'm not allowed on planes anymore. So.
Planes,
He really
trains, what
likes
the fuck, Bobby?
planes.
It's kind of like that movie, right? No more planes, trains, and elementary schools. Oh, sure.
Was the documentary on it. Oh, shut up. No, I'm not gonna make it a September. Nope, I'm better than that.
Callie, where do you live?
Where do I live? I live in
Yeah.
Los Feliz.
Okay, cool. What's your social?
We don't do it. Only do this with Canadians. He's a psychopath. I don't like him, I mean, he's not a good representation of us or what we stand for here at Cross Examination.
This homeless Canadian Bobby stands for only the finer things in life.
Yeah, he's high class white trash. He's got, you know, a rich palate on a budget taste.
He's the poorest rich man on earth, and he's the brokest man who's ever been tried for white collar crimes.
White collar. Right? When you go to jail for something your mom can be proud of.
I love it. Canadian Bobby's going to space soon. That skit's dropping. Voluntarily? Oh, what? Okay.
Keith. Is he really?
Yeah, yeah. Keith, do you have another question for Callie?
Oh, yes, I do. Have you ever stolen something of equal or greater value than $50? And, you know, did you feel bad about it or were you happy?
Well, no, I haven't stolen something that expensive unless you think that Jesus is of greater value, because I have stolen Jesus crackers out of a church before.
As long as it has any sentimental value, oh, that's good.
Yo, that's cold-blooded.
Is it? Or was yes, I just hungry for Jesus?
Okay, okay, Callie. Callie, I've been stoned next to a church before. But I've never walked into church and been like, man, I got the munchies real bad, and I go to the gold case and open that shit up and steal Jesus body crackers.
Well, bro, you know, maybe you should have. Maybe
right. You should
better have off today.
Callie, what? Tell us the story.
Honest to God, really did like the communion crackers, but I was also an asshole teenager. But I was also a pussy. So I broke into the church, which by broken, I mean the door, like, doesn't really lock. And no one was there. And I went in, and I could have taken anything.
Asking for it.
But I found the crackers, and I was like, this is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for. Because they only give you one, and I've always thought that was bullshit.
If it isn't the world's most polite little burglar.
I know. I really want to be more badass than I am inside.
Well, I used to spit on the little girls in front of me's head at Bible school whenever she was trying to like read. I feel like our stories are way different.
I don't know. God has a plan.
He's shitty at making plans. Yeah. Sorry. Oh.
Maybe Jesus just really wanted to be eaten that day, and he's just up there furiously horny. He's like, nobody's eating me today.
Jesus is hot. I would eat him any day.
That's Kurt Cobain on that cross that you're looking at. Okay. And nobody can convince me otherwise.
It was actually Mike Silver.
Mike Silver, what?
He's a booker in LA. And he's a great comic too. He's funny. Okay, speaking of that then, Callie. You are becoming more and more well known in the LA area as not only being very funny, but you're also booking shows. You're also working at venues like Nightcap LA. Do you think? Okay, so obviously you're naturally talented at comedy. What do you think is separating yourself from other people who you've only been doing comedy for what, 7 months? Four months. So what is separating you from other people? Okay, how about this then? Better way to ask the question. Somebody who's just starting out comedy right now, what could they have learned from your sort of fast track to being able to get booked at all these places? Do you think you're doing differently than most people who do comedy for 4 months and suck?
I one thing is, like, you can't be afraid of bombing. Like, I know a lot of people who will only go to, like, nice mics, because they're, like, scared of, like, I know that bombing sucks, but you have to get over that shit real fast. Go to the hard mics. Go to the ones that are going to, like, make you want to cry. And then just keep doing it. And also ask for shit. Like, I wouldn't have gotten the job at the Nightcap LA had I not, like, this was back in the Clubhouse days. Gone on to Clubhouse, gone in the comedy rooms, and been like, hey, I'm new. I need help. And, like, met Aaron that way. He said, come on. I said, I'll help. I'll do the lights or whatever. And, like, that's it. Like, just constantly be annoying to everyone. But not too annoying that they hate you. Be charming. That's really the secret.
Holy shit. I mean, that's exactly, yeah, you wouldn't believe what people will do for you if you just ask.
Yeah, that's true.
And well, so many people are afraid of asking. That's fine. Keep being afraid.
Yeah, it takes a certain level of cojones to be able to ask for stuff when it comes to your dream or your opportunity or what you want to get out of life, because we're not taught how to do that.
Yeah.
Not this,
we definitely live in it.
Not us.
No, we say please and thank you. We're taught how to ask politely for things, and we're taught how to be appreciative of things. But nobody teaches you how to do that when it comes to advancement. It's almost like people just expect you to be able to do that as a special ability. And if you can't do that special ability, then screw you. It is actually one of the most important things. Coming back to comedy for me too, you know, after quarantine, you know, 5 months ago, a big reason was that I just stopped being such a wimp in the social circles around comedy. And it helped me be less of a wimp on stage too. But see, the difference between me and you, Callie, is that, you know, I start comedy when I'm like 28 years old-ish. And if I'm being awkward then, how am I ever going to change that? That took a lot for me to change the type of person that I was. And for you to come in and within 4 months, you're asking for opportunities. You have the confidence in yourself on stage to be okay with bombing. That's something else.
Oh, man. I think, honestly, like you said, though, the pandemic changed me, too. I mean, that sounds so, like, cheesy or whatever, but, like, I lost my job. I was living in Spain, and I hated the job there anyway, and I had to move back with my parents, and I just, like, had that moment of, like, what the fuck do I really want to do? And I have that sort of, like, motivation and, like, energy to, like, really, really hardcore chase after it, because after that uncertainty and that whole year of being like, is this, you know, what am I doing with my life, what's happening, I can't have that again. So I've got this manic desperation that's kind of giving me that drive.
That's what it's funny you said that, because that's one of the things I was going to bring up was you know, desperation will really show you who you are too.
Yeah.
And you know, like, people like talk to me and be like, hey, how do you do that? And I'm like, what? And like, they're like, you're always like pouring out content and stuff. And I'm like, all right. And I just don't get it. Like, how do you do that? I'm like, desperation. That's it.
Hell yeah.
It's like, you know, it's the last ditch effort right here. I'm trying to be happy with my life. And you know, sorry, you know, hope you like it pretty much.
Yeah. And I had two of these moments already. In my comedy career, if you want to call it a career so far. The first act of desperation was moving out to California. I had just, you know, quit my job being a, you know, in that LLC pyramid scheme thing for DirecTV. I've talked about it. But like, and I had been doing that for so long, and I've been doing motivational speaking, and I was so into it. And it's like, why am I into this thing that I hate? And then I moved back to my parents, and the desperation resulted in, it's like, I got to do something with my life. And I only know one thing, and it's that I have a work ethic. So if I'm going to use that for stuff that I hate, similar to you, Callie, it's like, why not try something that I enjoy? If I'm going to work my ass off anyways, why would I work for somebody that I hate doing something that I hate? And then the second one was after quarantine, where it's like, I am not where I wanted to be a year or a year and a half into like really chasing after stand-up. And this is going to be my avenue to being a comedy writer or being a touring comic. So I better just stop being wimpy about it, because that's just, what am I doing? If I'm not going to network, if I'm not going to make friends out here. And so then I went for it, and that changed everything too.
I can't even imagine you being wimpy. Like, you're saying that you were like, because you're such a confident person. Like, you're one of the like earlier on people I met, probably at an improv. Yeah. And like, you project confidence, so I'm trying to picture you as a wimpy comic, and I can't.
I was more like this, the Paul that you know now, the rest of my life, but I completely lost who I was for, like, I would say a good 2 years of my life. I just didn't have any confidence in myself anymore. That was gone, because I realized that I had wasted some years of my life. Now, looking back on it, I don't think it's wasted. I learned a lot from it. But at the time, it's like, I just wasted years of my life doing something that I don't even enjoy. Why am I so confident in myself if that's the type of person that I am? So it was like, I had to relearn to love myself a bit. Have you guys ever had that?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yes. Like, I relate to that so much. I, like, kind of recently came out of that. Like, when I was over, like, living, like, doing the teaching thing, I was probably the most depressed I've ever been. And I definitely lost track of who I was. I lost motivation to do anything. Or to, like, I didn't even know what I wanted to do or have the energy to figure that out. And I felt, like, drifting and listless. But that's, like, you know, depression will do that, but can also be a catalyst to sort of, like, if you find that fire inside of yourself again, to, like, really manifest who you're supposed to be.
Oh, fuck yeah. There's nothing like spot to fuel anything.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go get build a rocket ship, like, that's going to get you on, like, to the moon, that's fine. Anything, like, a little bit of motivation's good. You want to go all the way to Pluto, you need spite just to fucking...
Fuck yeah, dude. Spite is the motivator.
I'm telling you. Fuck you, Kevin. You hear me? This is an ongoing thing now.
Kevin, yeah, will you suck a dick?
Yeah, you son of a bitch. Wait, I see you. All right. Hey, Kevin. I'm sorry about that.
What the Kevin fuck is stop. Kevin?
Kevin's my uncle. He's a real son of a bitch.
Oh, fuck you, Kevin.
Yeah,
we hate Kevin here.
I'll jump behind, on that train.
Yeah, fuck you, Kevin, buddy. You're a church pew eating ass bitch. Sorry. All right.
Hey, Kevin, I swear to God.
Oh, I hope that one day he hears this. That will make me happy.
Oh, I hope so too. Kid.
I'm going to play it at his funeral otherwise.
Flat muffin.
Kevin, you douche nugget. You full nugget of douche.
Whoa, not even a half?
Oh, Paul. Damn.
Powerful.
Well, damn. Oh, shoot. Okay. Anyway, fuck you, Kevin. Callie. What? Like, you know, being from Georgia, like, uh-huh. What? Like, have you been afforded certain luxuries, like, with your accent, you know, they have a little bit of a southern drawl, like myself here. You know, I feel like sometimes I sound like a uncartoonized Foghorn Leghorn, but
a little bit, dude.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely like spent a lot of time getting rid of the accent when I was a kid. So
really,
yeah, I did
comedy.
I don't know. I pull it out though. I'll pull it out because it does work. Whenever I use it in bits, people will laugh at shit just because I'm doing like an accent like this, and they're like,
"Yeah, you know. Like I don't know no better," you know.
Yeah, but it yeah, people will like identify that accent with like lack of intelligence, which is stupid because like honestly, it's like in like retrospect now as an adult, like it's such a like nice classic. Accent like it is, it's pleasant to hear.
What's a motherfucker that ain't pretending to be somebody else?
Exactly, yeah. Well, I am, but
you actually
I just can't do it anymore.
Well, you have a very pleasant podcast voice.
Oh, thank you. I used to hate my voice, but I'm coming around to it. Nice.
I've had this voice since I was like 13 years old. I had to used to call girls on the phone whenever I'd want to talk to them. I was 13, sound like this did not go over well with a bunch of fathers.
Oh, no.
With female callers?
No, with their fathers.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, what, a dad hears your voice and he's like, not my daughter.
Who is this? I'm like, I promise, I'm just a little boy. And, you know, like, the fuck you are? I'm like, I am 13 years old, sir. And he's like, I'll kill you. I'm like, all right, well, I'll talk to you later.
I'm 13. I can prove it anyway. It's bottom lover boy 69. That's my AIM. That's my AIM.
Miss M.
I met your daughter on MSN Messenger.
Oh my god.
It was on ICQ, baby. Oh.
Hey, we got another message real quick to play from Just a Guy.
Hey guys, I'm at a dive bar in upstate New York right now, drinking some beers, having some shots. Love to have a conversation. I don't know what you're talking about, but dude, I think we're all on the same side as you, bro. All right, well, peace be with you.
Okay.
I like that guy.
That was the most chill vibes I've ever got from anybody ever. Yeah. I think.
Very different than the speedrunner.
Just a guy, I would have a beer with you if I wasn't allergic to gluten. Dude, okay, before I ask another question to Callie, I'm telling way too many stories today. I don't know why. This is a good
one. Going deep.
I'm recently allergic to gluten. People who follow me on social media know this. It's a big deal to me. I freaking love sandwiches. Can't have sandwiches anymore. Bagels? Yeah, bagels sandwich. Are going to kill me? What the Dude. Hell? This just happens when you turn 30, Callie. Get ready. So today, I had to take a shower. I have chronic severe eczema. I had to walk to CVS this morning to get this ointment called CeraVe that I lather myself in. And so it keeps me silky smooth. You know what I mean? Anyways.
Imagine the calamine bath.
Yeah, calamine's for poison ivy, Keith. That's different.
Or the chicken pox.
Anyways, they were out of the CeraVe stuff, so I got this thing called Aveeno. Now, I grew up using Aveeno all the time. And I got the really good stuff that's for eczema people. I walk home. I take my shower. I put that on my body from, like, chin down. Within a minute, my entire body is beet red, and I have hives all over my body. Hives. Genuine hives. I'm having a – dude. I call poison control.
Oh, my God.
What an idiot.
I read Aveeno, and the main ingredient is, like, gluten stuff.
Are you serious? That's insane.
So I'm a recent celiac patient, and I just rubbed gluten all over my body. I just bathed in it.
Screw you, God. I'll show you who I am.
It's like when you take poison to get used to it.
I'm a gluten boy.
Maybe I'm immune now. Maybe that's what that just did. My body's maybe like, don't try it. We're okay with it now. Jesus, you dick.
Why the fuck would gluten be in lotion? Like, why would you need that in the lotion? What the fuck is gluten?
Hey, Keith. Hey, Callie. Why is there gluten in lotion?
Right?
We need to know.
Does it taste good? Because that's what I feel like is the most common denominator with gluten. It's in anything that tastes good or is good. Like, I don't know what it is, what it's supposed to be, or what it stands for, but it's delicious, whatever it is.
It's a component of, like, wheat, right?
So they say. Yeah.
Yeah, basically wheat. Barley, hops, and oat, depending on the oat. My fiance just told me to stop screaming.
all the bread foods. You know,
all the bread foods. And the beer foods.
Whiskey. Hey, it's cool.
You can, in fact, drink a sandwich.
I can't even drink a sandwich, dude. How stupid is that? My favorite pastime ever since I grew up, going in the pool, coming out, drinking Kool-Aid, drinking sandwiches.
Hold up, you could come out of the pool with a Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
Where are you pulling it from? Fuck,
Paul? Yeah,
I'm not pulling it from anywhere. It's the dude. He was a Kool-Aid.
No, this shit doesn't happen for everybody else, Paul.
You guys didn't go swimming with Kool-Aids?
Kool-Aids?
Oh yeah. No, I didn't.
Oh, no.
I didn't lose all of that weight from Subway. I had AIDS.
And you were actively hallucinating. Visually and auditorily.
Who's leaving after the AIDS joke? Do you guys not watch South Park? What?
Oh, I didn't even hear AIDS. What? No.
Funny. What did you think we were talking about? Wow, we've covered a lot, I feel like.
We've
done the whole...
Yeah, complete different directions here. Her and I are on the same page.
Yeah, well, Paul, what are you doing?
I'm just reflecting on myself.
Okay, sad Paul. No, we sad don't need Paul. That right now.
All right,
yeah. Maybe don't rub gluten on yourself anymore.
I hate myself for so many reasons I don't go over on this podcast. Here's a question for you, Callie. In the movie Inside Out, each person has a set of like core memories. Have you ever seen that Disney movie?
Fuck yeah! I'm a psych major. We used to watch that. At like every club meeting.
Cool. So you get it. So each person in the movie has a set of like core memories that define who they are and like how they behave. What's one of yours?
Okay. None of them are good. I definitely like my first memory ever is like when I was this is just gonna get sad. When I was like two, I guess I was in trouble, like I was being an asshole, you know, as 2-year-olds generally tend to do. And someone had told my mom, and this is, you know, that like deep South kind of parenting, that she should just lock me in my room.
Holy fuck.
So she, I remember very vividly being locked in my room for, it probably, I don't know how long it was, but it felt like a lifetime of
Did course. You hold your finger up to
like,
the door?
Just like beating on the door.
Did you hold your finger towards the door and just like motion to come here?
What do you mean?
Oh, because I did. I remember that. Oh, fuck. Sorry. My bad.
Am I bringing back memories for you? Bad ones?
I don't like it.
Go deep. Oh, no.
Yeah, memories of pointing at doors, Keith? Let Callie finish.
My bad.
Did you just point? I just kind of, I do want to hear where that goes. That's definitely like yeah. one of my core memories for it's just, sure.
It's got sad Kanye.
Anyway, so you were locked in the room, Callie. What happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was like, you know, obviously screaming for someone to let me out and nobody came. And I just felt abandoned. And then also I was like little. So I had this like weird thing where I thought like, I anthropomorphized like the furniture and everything got really scary. I actually made like a ceramic story piece about this one time in college where all of the like couches or the chairs and stuff had like teeth. But yeah, I just like, I feel like that's where I got my trust issues from and my abandonment issues. And that's probably why partially I am who I am today.
Being sent to your room when you were 4 years old.
No, I was two. No, locked in my room.
Locked in your room.
Yeah, buddy.
I guess that is pretty intense. You know, I mean,
it was very intense.
Well, you grow up, you have people send you to your room all the time. You know, you're grounded. You know, but yeah. Maybe when you're 2 years old, it's a little bit young couldn't to understand. Lock somebody in a room.
Yeah, because I couldn't really understand what was happening, you know, like, like, or why it was happening.
I remember I was like, my ass was standing up in my crib, like pointing at my bedroom door, like motioning with my pointer finger, like, come here. But I was too afraid to like yell and say, hey, come here. So that's all I was doing. My finger being tired. That's what I remember. Sometimes
you get that. To get the door to open. I love how we both have door-related memories at, like, two.
Yeah, what? Everybody who just tuned in, Callie's talking about one of her core memories that makes her who she is, and she's talking about being locked in her room when she was 2 years old. And when the door closed, Keith is like, I have a memory about doors.
I know. With mine, there's CCR playing in the background. We have to make
oh,
that
Oh, shit, decision. Yeah.
Nah, still, fun. I'm trying to get over my hate for CCR still to this day.
Oh, no.
It wasn't their fault.
No, that's
awesome.
That's
sad. That's a great band.
I know. I mean, why is that still a revival, though? But never mind. Anyway, so, yeah. All right, with you saying that, you know, you have you found out that the Appalachian accent is kind of like the negative to, or the opposite of a British accent where... We attribute like 15 IQ points to any British people, but you know, mm-hmm. you subtract with Appalachian Southern dialect, whatnot, what have you, what such so. I forgot what I was saying with just that. I proved my own point here.
No, something about does she find that the Southern accent makes her something?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've ever used it to get out of anything.
Ever used it to get out of something? Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. Like, especially here, how that would help me. I feel like it would just be a detriment.
Oh, no, right there, where you're at, right there is the oasis of where it would fucking work just like a charm.
You think so? All right, well, the next time I'm in a situation, I'll pull it out.
Do it. Yes. Just dig off of your southern roots, draw it out, and just pull it right here, you know, oops.
Back in my fraternity days, yet again. All right, I was in the agricultural fraternity. I never wanted to be in a fraternity. I was in a, I got kicked out of housing for like the first time that I ever bought weed ever. And I was, college was ruined for a moment. The fraternity let me stay there. I decided to join. They were nice people, but it was the agricultural fraternity. I had nothing in common with any of these people. And we went to a national convention for AGR. Alpha Gamma Rho, the first three letters in agriculture. Stupid. That's
brilliant.
How simple it is. In Burlington, Vermont. And we had some dudes from Texas there. And one of the funniest memories that I ever had was them talking about how they can get laid easier with their Southern accent. And we went out to the bar. We had already pre-gamed. And I'm standing there with three cowboys. I think I'm wearing a hoodie. It was just weird. It was a different vibe. They had the whole getup. They looked country fed. They were like 6'5", all of them. And this dude says, hey, you see that cute girl over there at the bar? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, watch this. And he goes over, he takes off his hat next to her. And he's like, well, hi, I'm Tommy. And I just want to let you know that I think that you are the most beautiful girl in this bar. And she swooned immediately. And she's like, oh, my God. And then she, like, giggled with her friends. And she's like, not to take anything away from your friends, by the way. But your eyes, I saw them from across the room. I'm like, you didn't see her eyes. You just hacked that up entirely. And he's like, mind if I have a drink with you? And she said, yeah. And so he buys a drink. He buys her a drink. They're having a great time. About 45 minutes later, they're leaving the bar, and they pass by us, and he says, hey, you go on ahead. I'll be right there. She's like, okay. She leaves the bar, and he whispers into my ear. He whispers into my ear after being like the most polite dude ever. He's like, I'm going to stick it only in her pooper, not, and just leave.
Oh, like, love
that
him.
Was amazing.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's like, people think that we're polite in the South, but like, it's a facade, I would say.
Bless your heart is a short.
Well, exactly.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
That's exactly. I do a bit about that. Like, it means you're a fucking idiot. Sounds sweet as hell, though.
Right. I can't say it because we're around people right now, but I want you to know that I mean, fuck you. Hey, you, exactly. You.
Wait, we just gave away this. We've been giving away that secret, though. We need to. Maybe I should stop doing it in a bit.
Bless y'all's hearts. We're just kidding here. You bunch of dumb ass motherfuckers. No, sorry.
Shit, people said bless your heart to me all the time when I was in Cincinnati, and I never caught on.
That is fucking hilarious. What were you doing in Cincinnati to irk? And why were people in Cincinnati saying that? That's not the South.
Running for mayor.
Everybody thinks that Cincinnati isn't the South. It is more racist and more Southern than any city around it because it's right over the river of Kentucky. And there's not even as many racist people in Kentucky. I'm not kidding. Cincinnati is one of the worst places on earth. So if you think of every bad Southern stereotype that could possibly exist, Cincinnati chose all of those and decided to not have an economy.
Cincinnati, where slaves regretted fleeing to.
Oh my God, I feel like you're gonna get so much hate mail from Cincinnati folks.
Fuck you guys. You let Jerry Springer be your fucking mayor, Cincinnati. Take it, bring it to me. All right, how about that? You expect yourself to be like regarded as a serious place, and you have Jerry Springer to be your fucking mayor? Come on, all your hate, funnel it towards me. I'm needed. I'm hungry. Come on,
Mark Twain. What? Oh, even Mark Twain has one of the most famous comments about Cincinnati ever. He wrote a letter to the city hall, and in it he said, if the apocalypse occurs, I hope that I'm in Cincinnati when it does, because it's always 10 years behind the rest of the fucking world.
Jesus. <Mark. laughs> Good
old plane wreck.
A plane wreck.
It's one of the best roasts ever.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Can you imagine just like the famous like authors of history sitting around a room roasting the shit out of somebody? Like, who would you imagine like the best person for the all, like Emily Dickinson, fucking Mark Twain, all these people to just roast at the same time?
The best roaster in history is Shakespeare, so he would win.
Yeah, he's pretty hardcore. You don't even know you're getting roasted with him.
Three-quarters of his plays is just making fun of people.
The shit-talking.
He's a dick.
I love it. It's just glorified shit-talking. It's amazing. You church it up a little bit, and he's nothing but a hillbilly with a pen.
Church it up a little bit. I love that. People are like, he's the best ever. It's like, he's just like a fucking poor dude being like, everybody sucks. Fuck you.
There's a motherfucker down the road from me in a trailer right now and like a meth induced psychosis writing some shit out that nobody's ever gonna read. It's probably more brilliant than his.
Hell yeah.
The
meth is the key to the muses.
It's a method to the madness.
Did you see that meme of the dude trying to figure out time travel on the side of a wall who was homeless?
Yeah. But if you look up that equation, it's pure gibberish.
I wouldn't know.
It was like a million equations.
Most of them to me, honestly.
Are you a math guy?
Hell no. I'm a Google guy.
Okay. Yeah, which is the same thing.
I'm a math guy, but I don't know time travel math. Time travel math is kind of a joke. That is over my head.
That's the only math I know.
That's the only math. Okay, teach us about time travel, Callie. That's your next question. Go.
Oh, no. I was lying. I'm a liar.
Hey!
We found you out. You see it? We see now. We got you.
Sorry. You got me.
Time travel math is the best math. You don't know time travel math? No. Well, then I'm not going to tell you about it.
No. You have to be cool to know.
You wouldn't understand the true nature of time travel.
No, I feel like a hot pocket because I'm hot on the inside and cold on the inside as well. Oh, hot time travel.
What accent is that? That's the lady who's like, you look like the 4th of July.
That was my nondescript, like, pasty person accent.
My nondescript.
So, in a panic, that's all I could come up with. But I didn't think I was going to get questioned as the origins.
The remix of Katy Perry's Hot and Cold.
You know, hot pocket in parentheses. I love that word.
I've never heard someone say parentheses, and I love it.
Right? Oh, is this coming off the lips? Yeah, that's fantastic.
So I kind of like parenthesicosis.
Parenthesicosis, yeah. It's, oh, wow.
This is highbrow stuff right here. Yeah,
parenthesicosis, that is the...
We've done math, we've done grammar.
Right. Science. What else? What's... Science? We've already had religion in here. So, yep. I mean...
We're basically philosophers.
Everyone who's listening, you can now write out yourselves a degree in sociology. You have now attained your bachelor's in sociology. Just from listening to this podcast.
Know that.
But you didn't. And you can sign at the bottom, accredited by University of Keith Burr.
I mean, I'm pretty sure listening to this podcast, you get a degree in anthropology. You got it.
or at least like laid some kind of apology. I'm trying to make a play off of apologies, and I was a little bit late apologies because we're sorry. It just sucks. But, you know, anyway, our internet came back together.
I like that. Well, we got one more question for Callie before we're gonna hit the hay. Because it's been around an hour, and we don't want to torture people longer than 60 minutes.
Don't we?
Right. Well, get on my team.
Nobody of us expects the Spanish Inquisition.
No.
Give me that question.
All right. Final question is... Oh, my God. It was up. I deleted the tab. Hold on.
Wow.
You're son of a bitch, bro. Look, all right. I'm Keith, and this is cross-examination. We're having
this is professional.
Oh, okay. If you could kill somebody in history, and, you know, if there is a God, you still get into heaven, you just get a whoopsie kill.
God loves murder.
It cannot be Hitler, because everybody says Hitler. It's easy. It's, right. That's way too easy. It can't be Hitler. Everybody would kill Hitler. Fruit. We'd kill Hitler.
He's a dick. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
If you could go back and kill anybody in history, who would it be?
I mean,
You gotta say Walt Disney.
Dude, yeah, he kind of sucks. But then we wouldn't have the Inside Out movie. So, you know.
Good. At what cost?
Whoever invented, I want to say pop music, but that's stupid. Who I really want to say is Trump, but that's, you know, that's who I want to say.
I mean, so is that what you're saying?
But is that history still alive?
There's two things about being an adult that remind me of something called the game. You know how when you were a kid, there was something called the game? And you're winning the game as long as you don't think about the game.
Right.
And then, you know, if you said, if you ever think about the game, you're required to say, dude, I lost the game in public around other people, which would force other people to lose the game. I feel like Donald Trump is the adult version of the game. Because I forgot he existed for like a solid 3 days until you just brought him up. And I'm like, fuck.
Well, I've been saying this.
I figured out, though. I changed my mind. I would kill whichever one of, like, I want to say I would kill Jesus, but the Romans already took care of that.
You would kill Jesus? God,
but it's not so it's nice. Not his fault. Oh. So I'm gonna amend that to whichever Roman like emperor it was who like dictated that Christianity had to be like the only religion, because it's kind of their fault that we live in like the theocracy that we currently do. So whoever that was, I should probably read up on my history and
no get pun intended, but you're goddamn right.
Yeah, dang it.
Constantine.
Yes. Okay. So fuck Constantine. That he's on my shit list.
George Washington Carver.
What?
The peanut butter guy?
Yeah, I won't say the makeup.
Why would like you kill him? Butter?
Well, because if he didn't invent anything, I want to see what other, like...
He invented a lot of stuff.
Right? You know, I just want to see what they make up that somebody else did. Like, I don't like the news.
What if, like, a different nut butter became more famous? Like, what if instead of peanuts, it was, like, almond butter was the shit?
I would laugh my dick off because I'd be like, that was lazy.
Oh, dude, that is awesome. I think I would kill the original Rothschild. That's deep state conspiracy dumb stuff. I don't believe in a lot of conspiracies, but the one that I do, I think I believe in like two conspiracies. One of them is that the Rothschilds control all the banks in the world. And I think that's obvious that they do. There's no evidence that says they don't. There's so much that says they do.
Oh, but, yeah.
So I would kill the original Rothschild.
That would be yours. All right. So that was an interesting trio of people.
Yeah, George Washington Carver.
What'd you say,
Kelly? We would really change. Well, that was an interesting trio of people, honestly. They were very unrelated, every single one of them.
You know, I feel like that's the main component here that holds cross-examination together. It's just our complete non-sequitur bullshit that we have, like, our relationship with each other. Our speed as comedians, it's all, like, unrelated. And that's what makes us go.
It's the chaos that really keeps it together.
Right. I can't believe that was a whole string of words that I just put together, but, you know, it works.
Well, hey, everybody. We'd like to thank Callie Kugel for coming on to cross-examination on the clickbaitful 8th episode. Callie, do you have anything to plug, like your Instagram, any shows coming up?
Yeah, I've got, well, one coming up, but it's like August 24th, and I don't have the details for it yet. So, yeah, my Instagram's Callie Kugel, but I'd really like to plug my show Only Friends that I host with Gordon Jackson and Seth Lawrence at the Nightcap in Burbank every Tuesday. Please come out to that. And thank you guys so much for having me. Like, this was, I've always wanted to do a podcast. Well, I just lost my podcast virginity with you guys.
Yet another virginity notch off the belt of the virginity notch belt.
I don't know. These are not unfamiliar grounds. I mean, I don't know how that word works. Unfamiliar, is that familiar? I don't know. Anyway, thank you. It's an honor to take that card. But yeah. I haven't done this in a while, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
It's amazing. Like,
anytime.
Keep killing it, girl.
All right, you guys too.
Thanks so much, Callie.
See ya. I'll see you tomorrow, Paul.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Callie's coming.
See you guys next month or something.
Fuck yeah! Get over here, Keith.
I'm gonna try and
meet you in real people left.
I'm back.
What's up, Keith?
The government tried to kick me out, but look at me. I'm like just a little annoying person that keeps popping up whenever you try to kick out.
You're fine, dude. Well, hey, do you want me to ask the last question for you, or do you have anything to plug for yourself?
I have nothing to plug other than my YouTube channel. On the search for Not Garbage is going to be starting soon. So if you guys want to give me a follow on there, that'd be dope. If not, you know. Cool. To each their own.
To each their follow him, damn it. I actually got a couple shows. I'm on something called the Mac and Bo Show at the Comedy Chateau tomorrow, Saturday, August 7th at 9:30 p.m. That's in Los Angeles. I think it's in like the Hollywood area. It's one of the newer venues. It's really nice inside. You should come out. And then I'm booked on another show there on Sunday at 8 p.m. Which is just new faces at the Comedy Chateau. Both of them are great. They're cheap tickets. Come out and support some great comedy. And
yeah, Guys, I want you all to know, just because, like, you associate me with this show, don't think that Paul's not a big fucking deal. Like, I'm lucky to have him on here, and it's pretty cool that he even, like, uses his time to do it. Like, he's out here actually doing real comedy, and I'm just, like, broadcasting this shit out from the mountains. And so, I mean, yeah, definitely follow him. Like, he's putting in the work, and it's paying off. So, I mean...
Well, and Keith is, like, the entire back end of this podcast. Keith has fucking crushed it. You know, for somebody just projecting from the middle of the mountains, you're already close to 4 grand followers, right? Have you hit the benchmark yet?
Oh, no. Not yet. I'm close, though.
You're close, dude. So you're crushing it. So we're both crushing it. Callie's crushing it. And you listeners are crushing it for tuning in every week, twice a week. We'll be back on Wednesday. Keith, what natural disaster are you the least underprepared? Are you the most underprepared for? Go.
If Dale Earnhardt died again, that would be the third 9/11. The first two was 9/11 and then Dale Earnhardt. The third would have to be him dying again.
I forgot. Dale Earnhardt, a.k.a. the economy of Kentucky.
Angel of North Carolina. Intimidated, baby. Raise hell, praise Dale. All right. This is...
I love it. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Keith. This is fun. See you Wednesday.
See ya.